Prepare your eyes. Viewmaster with Sam Sinnott on 95BFM.
Morena, Sam.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm good. We're on air. Let's do this. This is the day.
We are on air. The red lights, the red light in studio on air thing is on.
Which I always point out.
That was a good sentence.
That was a great sentence. Good thing it's Friday.
Oh, God. Thank you. Yes, okay. So I'm talking about It's a Sin today, which is a show which is by the BBC, which just came out on TVNZ On Demand, so anyone listening can watch it because I assume you're all in New Zealand, but shout out to our overseas listeners. Hey, yeah. And this show is by Russell T. Davis, who we'll know from Queer as Folk, which about 20 years ago now.
Heck,
wow.
Which is crazy. And I know that was a show that was really transformative for the LGBT plus community that were in the cohort above me. And he also is behind Cucumber, which is another LGBT plus show, which I loved. And he was behind Years and Years last year, which I reviewed for BFM.
I loved that show.
Exactly.
So he's so good.
He's also such a talent.
My favourite writer in Doctor Who for a long time as well. That's my
everything comes back to Doctor Who.
It does.
Every time.
It's a great cultural behemoth.
She's trying to be the next Doctor. That's the trajectory.
I'm lining up for it.
And this show is called It's a Sin, and it's about the AIDS crisis in London in the 80s. So it starts in 1981 and traverses through all the way to 1991, I believe.
Right.
And it's a five-part miniseries, and it is so, so tragic and so, so beautiful and so, so fun and just one of the best things I've watched this year. And I know only January, but I loved it and I cried much. It's definitely one of those shows where if you're listening and you're part of the LGBT plus community, you definitely need to get on board and watch this right away because it's just such a little capsule of the history of our people and our community. But also if you're just a straight person who doesn't know much about the AIDS crisis, give it a watch because it's a really well done TV show, despite the subject matter being so personal to me. But it's also just like, it's just great. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
The main character, there's three main characters, but I'll talk about the main character that everyone will kind of know is played by Ollie Alexander of the Years and Years, which is
coincidentally titled band Years and Years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah, no, he is from that band.
Yeah, yeah, no, he is. I remember thinking, that's such a coincidence.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
like,
his band's name, and that's also a TV show Russell T. Davis has made in the past.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. My brain just kind of like shuddered.
Glitched.
And I went into dial-up mode for a second. Yes, and basically it follows these three main characters who are all from different backgrounds. One of the main characters is Nigerian by descent and living in London. One of them's from Scotland and he's really quiet and reserved. And Ollie Alexander's character Richie is just this like ray of sunshine, light, so energetic, so vivacious. I mean, he really throws himself into the gay scene when he first goes to university in London, leaving his kind of conservative parents behind on the Isle of Wight. And obviously, being in the 80s, a lot of these young people, I think they're all meant to be 18 at the start of the show, and we get to see them until they're like 28 or so. They are all kind of in the closet or hiding their homosexuality because, I mean, in the 80s, it wasn't like the done thing. There was gay clubs and there was like a thriving gay scene, but there was still a lot of hatred
towards them. It's
pretty
much the underground. Yeah,
entirely. And if you don't know, in 1981 was kind of when the AIDS crisis first started affecting the UK from people travelling from the US and bringing it over, though who knows where it really came from. That's still, you know, something we don't really know about. And it kind of just acts as a really poignant time capsule of the times and of the fun that the gay people were living during the 80s and the absolute tragedy that like befell a lot of them, which they blamed on their fun, but I think was just, you know,
it's a really important period in history because it says a lot about how the culture was viewed by straight people. If you look at the way that it was handled by legislators as well, it was extremely homophobic, and
even the news media calling it a gay cancer.
Totally. And all of that was like propaganda, basically. You know, there's no specific thing about AIDS that targets queer communities.
No.
It's a really, but it did also affect those communities very, very, very much specifically.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to see done in a TV show, I guess.
Yeah, and it robbed like many people that would now be like 40, 50, 60 of their lives. So there's a lot of like gay culture that was lost. And like, I think that's one of the reasons why progress in like queer communities stalled for so long is because the legislators and the lawmakers that would have been gay, a lot of them weren't around. So there were so many people that, you know, lost their lives. And I'm not an expert on this topic. I was born in 1995, and like, I'm still learning every day more about it because it's not taught in history books. It's not taught in school. Like, I had never heard of the AIDS crisis until I think it was like 21, which is like terrible.
But I mean, that says a lot about how it's still not something that is talked about or discussed in sort of mainstream education, and it's still part of our recent cultural history that people feel kind of uncomfortable to deal with in a public setting sometimes, and that's, you know, hugely problematic still. One of the things that we were talking about off air, which I found really interesting, is one of the biggest AIDS sort of like advocacy groups in the UK has written this really interesting article being like, this is the best TV show we've watched, you know, in a long time. It's incredibly celebratory, it's incredibly moving, but also remember, this is the AIDS crisis of the 80s, and we have a lot of like stuff in place now that means that the lived experiences of these characters don't have to be the reality of people today as well.
Yeah, you can live a long and happy life. You can be undetectable and untransmissible. You can take Truvada or pre-exposure prophylaxis. There is so much out there that means that this, what we're watching on the show in the 80s, is really nothing to do with what's happening today. And people with AIDS who are AIDS positive with AIDS, or people that are, you know, having sex with people with AIDS, you know, it's very, you know.
Science has done a lot in the time since this show.
It's quite amazing, yeah. And also, like, there's been a lot of chat recently about COVID-19 and how this virus has been treated comparative to HIV. And, like, I don't know much about that because I'm not a scientist. I review TV shows on the radio. but it is something, it's interesting to look at. And also, besides all of this, you know, negative stuff, this down stuff, the show is really, really good. It's well written, it's well acted. I would say that my biggest flaw with it is there is some moments, because the show is a 45-minute BBC production made for TV, not for streaming, it kind of cuts down on important scenes, or it paints the characters with quite broad strokes.
Right.
So you've kind of got to put your own understanding of the characters on them, because they don't get the time to fully develop, I don't think. And because we're jumping 2 years, 3 years each time we see them in an episode, and there's five characters that you kind of really follow, as well as supplementary characters around them, it doesn't really give them as much time as you would like. And there is one scene in the final episode which I think drags on too long and kind of takes away from the overarching theme of the story, which is just the celebration of being a homosexual and how no matter what is coming at you, you still should be able to live and you still shouldn't like give up on yourself, kind of thing. And that's what Richie Ollie Alexander's character really embodies. And there's a moment at the end of the fourth episode which is just like so beautiful, and he gives like a very impassioned speech, and your heart just breaks for these characters because they're so young, and it makes you know, you get transported back there. And the soundtrack is amazing, the outfits are amazing, it's all really well done, and it's a great period piece. And it reminds me of the movie starring Mark Ruffalo, The Normal Heart, which I think if you're looking for more cinema or film or TV related around the AIDS crisis, that's also a great one to watch. That's about the San Francisco AIDS crisis and Fire Island and all that kind of stuff, and that's really beautiful. So there's so much media out there, and I've been like really delving back into it since, as I said off here to Rachel, COVID-19 dropped in March last year, because I think it's important to, you know, follow these viruses and stuff and make sure we remember what's going on
and understand the narratives around them and how they play out aren't necessarily, you know, there's a lot to how a narrative is created, and it says a lot about the way culture is at a time when we see that. You know, you can think about with COVID-19 the huge racism that has come out of towards people from Asian countries and of Asian descent as well, and you just think, well, that's a human constructed thing, that's nothing to actually do with the virus, that's a socially constructed part.
Viruses aren't racist, they're not homophobic, they don't have any prejudice, so just like stay safe and like be careful.
But
that was deep.
That was deep shit on a Friday morning. A lot of texts coming in from people who have watched It's a Sin and loved it. Jen said, best show I've watched in a long time, cried so much and it made my heart full. That's something that I've seen a lot of people talking about. It is also incredibly uplifting as a show as well. It's a very celebratory thing.
Well, you're proud of these characters because they, I don't know, it's just, they have lived an experience that I will never live, but also there are so many elements of their lives that I have lived and love. And it's just like, it's beautiful. And it's like, it's fun to see young people have fun on camera doing amazing things and living these aspirational lives. Because I think we all want to be aspirational and like strive for more. And I think that's what all these characters are trying to do. And I think even if you took away the AIDS crisis narrative in the story. I think I'd still love to see the five characters like grow up and stuff.
Totally. Cool. Hey, where can we go and watch It's a Sin?
So it's TVNZ On Demand, which is one of my favourite streaming services at the moment, actually. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Nice. We love local free TV access.
And Educators Season 2 is on there. Eggplant is on there. Just go watch everything on there.
Excellent stuff. And for that texter, it's a Sin. That's the name of the show. Thank you very much, Sam.
Hey, no worries.
Viewmaster, only on 95 BFM.